made a good move to join us in the trenches with Dave Lapham because we are visiting with offensive coordinator Brian Callahan, and he gives a very, very detailed breakdown of the three players the Bengals drafted on offense, two wide receivers, one running back. Talks about new quarterback, Trevor Siemian, that the Cincinnati Bengals signed. He was with Denver when Siemian broke into the National Football League with the Broncos. And Brian Callahan talks about everything going on with the Cincinnati Bengals in terms of how they made their selections, why they made their selections, what he thinks about the offensive football team, and getting ready now. Make some tweaks in the playbook, get after OTAs. Before you know it, it's training camp. Thanks for taking the time to join us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, as always, in our outstanding studios. And we have an outstanding guest. This is a friend of the show. I mean, he's done this many times, and every time he does it, I learn something. I learn football from a football lifer and a great guy, great coach, great player, Brian Callahan. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Pleasure to be here. I don't know if I was a great player, Lab. You can So I'm sitting here in this chair coaching and not playing.
Yeah, you played at quarterback, important position, obviously, at a very, very high level at UCLA. So great player, great player. All right, so the draft. Everybody's fired up. You know, the NFL draft is an event, a three-day event. It's an extravaganza. But I've been saying this for the last few days. In preparation for the draft, people that I talk to around the league that I've known for a long time, always try to get, you know, kind of a league-wide perspective on some things. Every single one of them volunteered to me that, man, the Cincinnati Bengals, as a 53-man roster, are amongst the best in the NFL. I mean, it's like I heard first, I heard number two, no lower than number three by quite a few people. So everybody had the Bengals projected 53-man roster before the draft as top three in the National Football League. That says a lot to what you guys have done over the past two, 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, we feel like we have one of the best rosters in football. We felt that way going into the draft this year. And I think all we did was solidify that feeling for us. We added some really good players on defense. We added some guys on offense we think are going to add a lot of value to our team and be able to potentially help us on offense. And, you know, I think Duke and Mike Potts and Steve Radicevic and Trey Brown and all those guys upstairs that put hours and hours into scouting these players have really helped put us in great position. And, you know, we get involved in the process late. You know, they've been doing it for a couple of months, and we jump in the last, you know, probably six to eight weeks of it. And I think we all have a great vision of what we want the players on our team to be like, what the traits we're looking for by position, and we know what we want. So it's a lot easier when you know what you're looking for. And those guys do a great job of setting the table. And, you know, Duke's masterful. I wish everybody got to see Duke in the draft room on how well he stays to his evaluations. He's patient. It's just really impressive.
Man, patience and ability to pivot, if you have to pivot, I mean, all that is there. It is interesting, though, like you talk about, put a lot of time, resources, effort into setting the board, and it basically is the draft Bible, right? I mean, it's like gonna stay true to this bad boy right here all the way through. And there were probably instances where you could have gotten off the rails a little bit, but came right back and stayed on track on that board.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes our process really good. Is, you know, we have a very thorough board stacking process. Mm-hmm. We talk through all the different scenarios, all the different players that could be available. We talk through all the potential trades. And these conversations all happen before the draft even starts. And so we have a really good feel and some anticipation of what might be available to us. And then obviously the draft starts and it goes all kinds of different directions. But I think what Duke does a great job of is he stays very, very disciplined in his approach, and we don't vary or stray too far from what our evaluations say and what our grades are on players. And when we get to certain spots, you know, we try to take our highest graded player. And obviously you're trying to find positions that fit. You still have needs on your roster you're trying to fill as well. But, you know, I think we just do a great job of being able to stack the board and stay disciplined in the process and not panic and not reach for a player around early or not reach for a position that we shouldn't be picking at that particular spot. And I think it's just a well thought out process that we have here. And it's obviously led by Duke upstairs.
So when you're staying true to the board, I mean, you can make your picks very, very quickly. And compared to other franchises, your picks were made pretty darn quickly. So all the conversation, all the differences in opinions and all those sort of things are hashed out long before during the process of the board being set. And those dialogues and conversations and disagreements, whatever, don't take place necessarily all that extensively on draft day. Take us through, though, a little bit of what some of those meetings are like, those conversations are like as you're setting your board, because I'm sure there's, you know, everybody can't think exactly alike on everything. How does that evolve? How does it solve itself? What's the process there?
Well, you're picking at 28 this year. So we try to find, you know, who we think the 28 best players are in the draft. And obviously when we're not looking for a quarterback, you really try to take those guys out of the equation because you assume that at least two or three of those guys were going to go. And so you try to stack the board without the quarterbacks in it on what the 28 top players look like. And you do your best to rank them in where you see it. One, they're fit for us, you know, and two, where they might be in that ranking. And so obviously there's guys that we haven't ranked in the top 10 that we don't really anticipate being able to draft, but you still have the conversation. Let's say Peter Skoronski falls to 28. You know, what do we do with him? If we draft him, where does he play? How do we fit him on the lineup? All those conversations go on, even though they're not likely scenarios, you still have all of them, which is how you end up with a guy like Miles Murphy, who we assumed would likely be gone well before we picked. And for whatever reason, teams took other players and he was sitting there towards the end of the round for us. And we felt really good about that. But those are conversations that we have every possible scenario. What world of players are we picking from? What if we're picking from this set of four players? Or what if it's this set of four players? And they're all guys that some maybe we had in the top 35 players. And so we're maybe reaching down into a pool of player that if we get to that spot, maybe we're going to try to trade back. Or maybe we would be comfortable taking this player here because he hits us in a need and he's a really good player that we had high grades on. So all the conversations, it's endless. You could talk about it for hours. On all the different scenarios, and you just try to hash out what everything looks like for us at that pick. And then you end up with a consensus on who we'd be comfortable taking there.
You know, it's interesting. Everybody has different versions of which players in the first round they think are true first round value picks, you know, and a lot of people, again, that I converse with, they couldn't come up with, you know, 15, almost, you know, now only 31 picks because one was forfeited this year, but you know, half of the first round maybe were legit in a lot of people's estimation. These are the first round guys. And a lot of people had Murphy as, you know, one of those 15 guys. And there he was at 28. And when all those trades were being made and 14 of the 31 picks were basically consummated after a trade was involved, that had to be like the wild, wild west as it was unfolding for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really know what to expect. We knew that there was some teams that valued some other different players probably more than we might have. Particularly, you know, there was some receivers that we weren't sure where they would go. And they all, thankfully for us, all went in a row there towards the, you know, the later part of the round. And that allowed a player like Miles to get pushed down a little bit further than maybe he might have. We felt like some of those receivers might go in the early second on day two, might get pushed up late. Somebody might try to trade back in from one of them. Who knows? But we weren't certain on where those guys would go, where their fits were on all those teams. You try to project that the best you can, but there's definitely was a lower number of overall, you know, high-end talent first-round grades in this class. You never are going to have 32 first-round grades. That never happens.
Right.
You're always going to have probably somewhere you feel good about 15 to 18 guys as really true bona fide first-round caliber talents. This year it was probably a little bit less than that, truthfully. And so because there wasn't the high end receiver talent this year. There wasn't the high-end tackles that we've seen go off early. You know, it was a lot of those guys that, you know, you're seeing three and four of them go in the top 10. It wasn't quite like that this year. So it was just different. It was hard to predict on what teams would want and when. And it fell in our favor in the first round for sure. And that we could find ourselves a pass rusher, because, you know, pass rushers are you have to have them. And usually you got to have at least two. Sometimes you need three. You'd love to have four. And I think we feel really comfortable about what that room looks like now.
Yeah, no question about it. As you were coming down to the 28th pick, I asked in the presser after Miles Murphy was selected, at what point did you really hone in on, you know, covet, boy, if Miles Murphy's there, we're going for it. And the answer was like around 20. When from 20 on, it was like, man, it looks like we're going to be able to get Miles Murphy potentially here. And a lot of teams did reach out and ask about trading back, whatever, because Levis was there. Still, and then he ended up being going right away in the second round. But getting that fifth year with a rookie quarterback, I'm sure a lot of teams were thinking about that, exploring that or whatever. So I'm sure you got some significant phone calls there, but just decided to stay with your guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the caliber of player that, you know, you're dropping off of, there was probably, by the time we picked, you know, there was probably three players we felt really comfortable taking at our pick. And, you know, there was one or two guys that were falling a little bit further than we thought they might. You know, Dalton Kincaid goes a little later than we thought he might.
Yeah.
You know, Anton Harrison went maybe a little later than we thought he might have gone. Guys that we felt like were going to get picked, you know, in the probably starting between 15 and 25. We thought that they would get picked. And so there were some guys that lingered. Deontay Banks went a little bit later than we thought. So some guys that went off the board late, but once we got to 20 and we saw the world of players that was available to us, there was only eight picks, and we had X amount of players on our list that we liked and felt good about, that, you know, we didn't feel like moving back off of any one of those players. We felt their talent level was worthy of the pick, and decided to stay and pick instead of moving back.
So day one ends. Day two, go with defensive back Turner out of Michigan, Jordan Battle, safety out of Alabama. So the first three picks for the second year in a row are defensive picks, and start day three. And it was the greatest thing in the world. Ryan Callahan comes into the presser with a name tag on. Hi, my name is Brian Callahan. It's like, I need to reintroduce myself here a little bit, guy. It was classic, coach. It was good stuff.
Yeah. But you try to get a little levity there, you know, have a little fun with it.
Absolutely. It was awesome. But you get yourself a hell of a player. I mean, it's like Charlie Jones is there in the fourth round at pick 131 out of Purdue. I mean, I'm sure there was conversation of him in day two, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that third round pick, he was in the conversation. You know, he was in the world of players we were debating on what the best place was for them. Obviously, we rolled the dice on seeing if he'd be around around later, which turns out thankfully he was. You know, and we went with our highest graded player at that point with Battle, and right. That fit us well, and it fit a need, and it fit the grades, and he was worthy of the pick at 92, and we just felt that there was a chance that Charlie would maybe linger till the fourth when we got to our pick, and he did, and super excited to have him. You know, he brings a ton of versatility. He can play all three spots. He's got some outside flex. He can play inside. He's got great ability to separate at the top of his route. He's got really strong hands, and he was super productive. And on top of that, he has the ability to potentially return both punts and kicks. So you've added some versatility and some contribution, a path of contribution for him potentially early, if he can win those jobs. And so, you know, competition in the receiver room for that spot, and the ability to help in a lot of different places, which is, you know, fourth round of the draft is what you're hoping for.
So a guy like Charlie that is at Purdue, where they are pass centric. I mean, they're spreading the field out and they're throwing it all over the place, and the route tree is pretty extensive. I mean, he can run the entire route tree. He can run a route for us, basically. I mean, that's the thing. When I watch him, he is an outstanding route runner. He sinks his hips, gets in and out of those cuts, and gets separation. And I mean, he can run as well, obviously, but I mean, his route running looks to be outstanding, as well as sticky, you know, glue fingers. I don't know. I mean, a comp, he's a lot faster, Biletnikoff, but he kind of reminds me of a type of guy, you know, that is a route runner, catch everything kind of guy like that. Do you have any comps that fans might be able to say, oh, yeah, that, well, I know that guy. Who would he be like?
That's tough because he's not a slot only player.
Right.
You know, he's not like I wouldn't compare him to the Edelmans and Welkers of the world. He's a little bit bigger than that size, like height wise. He's a little bit more slender. He's, you know, his weight's a little bit lower. You know, he kind of reminds me, and then this, cause I was around him. He's got a little bit of Eric Decker in him. You know, he's not quite as tall as Deck was or as big, you know, Deck was 215 pounds. He was 6'3", but he just reminds me of that style where he's got route running ability. He probably lacks the true, you know, the 6'3", 215, which is about what Decker was coming out to play, you know, a full time on the outside as a starting outside receiver, but definitely has that route, his route running ability, his speed, his hands are all to me, remind me of him a little bit.
You know, I've talked about this with a few guys in the organization after the draft, and I'd like to get your take on it as well. First round pick Clemson, second round pick Michigan, third round pick Alabama, fourth round pick Purdue. Well, Clemson, Michigan, and Alabama all played in the college football playoffs. Purdue played in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan. I mean, you got guys that big schools, big conferences, big schools in those conferences, you know, big games, big crowds, a lot of coverage, and they stepped up and responded and played their best football in the biggest moments. I mean, those are part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah, I think those things matter. I mean, they're things we take into account. Obviously, it's a lot easier to evaluate guys that play at the higher levels of competition. You know, you get to see them play against good players. You get to see them play in big games, and you know that they have experience in those moments, and they know what it takes to be in those positions. You know, it's always still going to come down to is their tape good, and do they fit personality wise what we're looking for. But you know, it certainly leans that way for us, that we've tended to take guys with pedigrees at bigger schools that, you know, have some success in their backgrounds, that, you know, for us it matters.
I can see Charlie Jones and Joe Burrow hitting it off right away, because Charlie Jones with that route running that we're talking about, and Joe as a it's like the quarterback always appreciates, and I've never played the position, you certainly have at a high level, but if the guy is where the quarterback is expecting him to be, when he's expecting him to be there, quarterback's going to have some confidence throwing the football, right? And Charlie seems to be that kind of guy, where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you see on his tape. You can see that, you know, Purdue had a pretty good quarterback. He got drafted as well, Aiden O'Connell. And you can see that he trusted him. You know, he put the ball in places that allowed him to go make a play on it, trusted him to go get it. You know, again, his ball skills are at a very high level, but he catch the ball away from his frame and really strong hands on top of that. So, you know, guys like that, we say in the quarterback room are quarterback friendly. Those are guys that you like to throw to, and I think that he'll earn trust along the way. He's got a lot to learn, I think, as he starts to get going here in the next week or two. But you know, those are translatable skills that quarterbacks tend to enjoy throwing to. One, guys that are going to go catch the ball wherever they put it, and two, you know, have awareness and some spatial awareness, and really can come out of breaks and understand where the ball is going to be and why it's got to be at a particular depth, and he's always going to be at that particular depth and those landmarks on the field. So that's how you earn a quarterback's trust really quickly.
Okay. So let's go to the next pick, running back. You did go offense three picks in a row, coach, which was good. 131, 163 and in 206. So at 163, Chase Brown, running back, Illinois, workhorse, man, the dude. Yeah. Dude definitely carried it a bunch, didn't he?
Yeah, which is great. And 2 years of really high production, you know, I think was just missed the lead in the league in rushing, or leading the nation in rushing by a couple of yards, and came in second. You know, on an Illinois team that fed him the ball quite a bit over a 2-year period, and he still had that production. Those are the things that when you look at running backs that sometimes perk your interest, because he was probably their best player on offense and they gave him the ball all the time and everyone that played against him knew it.
Right.
And he still managed to have that type of production over a 2-year period. Really impressive production. And he's a top character kid, has great, very eager, very intelligent, made of all the right stuff. Those are the kind of guys you want to bring on your team. And then you add the fact that he's got great patience, great experience, really can burst through the line of scrimmage. He can create long runs. He can make people miss. He can run hard and run tough, even though he's not a huge back. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but he's well put together. He runs physical. Really excited about what he can bring to our offense, truthfully. I think for the round that we were in the fifth round, we felt like he was the best back. Obviously, we had a discussion about him potentially in the fourth as well. You know, as you're picking the back of these rounds, mm-hmm. You're kind of pushing guys up a little bit, and you try not to as best you can. But, you know, he was in that conversation as well. And we felt like same thing with Charlie Jones in the third, that we could wait around and they would likely have a chance to still be there. He may not be, but we felt comfortable that if we passed on him at the fourth, that he would be available to us in the fifth. And again, we felt like he was the best back left on our board at that time. And we felt the value for his production, his play style, how he fits us, and the round that he was available in were really the perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, as a former lineman, watching him run over linebackers and safeties, you know, and I don't know if he led the country. He's amongst the leaders in rushes of 10 to 15 yards. You know, a 5-yard run turns into like a 12 to 15 yard carry. And it's like, man, it just geeks you up when you got a teammate, you know, doing that kind of thing. So I can see that part of it, you know, being a big, big factor. How is he running routes out of the backfield, catching the football, blitz pickup? Was he asked to do much of that?
No, you don't. I mean, he's like most college backs. You don't see a ton of protection on tape. You know, you get some looks at it in the Senior Bowl when they're down there. They try to let everyone see that part of their game,
right?
Which is good. And you just see where maybe he could improve and where he is good. And there's some things that are good that he does. There's some things that he's going to have to learn. You know, when you're evaluating running backs, you're really looking for two things, and we can find it out two different ways. We're looking for guys that are willing, and so when they do go pick up a blitzer, are they trying to go pick up the blitzer? Right. You know, or are they finding a way to avoid it? And, yeah. You know, as long as they're willing, you start there. You can clean up technique. The chances of these college backs, particularly a guy like him who's running the ball as much, they're not spending a ton of time on pass protection techniques and schemes. They don't have time for it in college. They're not allowed the time for it in college. And it's not as big a part of the college game as it is the pro game.
Right.
And so, you hope that technique and eye discipline and all those things will help bring that process along faster, because you just don't know until they start to do it. But the biggest, the other proponent of it is, are they intelligent enough? Because the protection stuff is hard. It takes some recognition and it takes reps. And so you get to a point where you're in these Zoom meetings in the draft process, and Justin's drilling these guys on protection, seeing who can pick it up and who can't. And so obviously Chase is incredibly intelligent. He's able to pick those things up, and, you know, well, it's a work in progress, but it's a trajectory that I think is a very reachable place for him to get to.
And talk about a guy that you mentioned, okay, competition, the Senior Bowl. You made a good point about the Senior Bowl, and Andre, and I don't know, I'm struggling with Andre's last name, so I don't want to butcher that, coach, but receiver out of Princeton, Andre.
I think it's Yishovash.
Yishovash? Okay.
Yishovash. Yishovash, yeah.
Yishovash.
It's hard to say for me, too.
Okay. So, Andre.
Yoshivash, that's what it is.
Yoshivash. Andre, yeah. Yoshivash. Okay. So, Andre, Ivy League, Princeton, unbelievable athlete, obviously, pentathlete, 16-foot, you know, pole vaulter, ran the fastest time in the 60 meters. I mean, just crazy athletic, big guy. And you're thinking, level of competition. Then he goes to the Senior Bowl, though, and it's not too big for him whatsoever, right? I mean, is that what really caught your attention, what he did down there at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, you know, you're always leery of testers, you know, guys that are really put up these great numbers, incredible athletes, because sometimes it doesn't translate to good football players, right. You know. But if you have a guy like him who's got those measurables, has those testing numbers, and you watch him at a small school like Princeton, and he plays well, and you're always going to worry about the competition that he's facing. He's right. Probably a better athlete than 100% of the guys he's played against in the Ivy League.
Yep.
However, when he goes to a place at the Senior Bowl, you get to see him against higher level comp, and now you see it's not too big for him. These things are real. These traits do translate to football for him, albeit might be a little bit raw. Things might not be perfect, but he's a moldable piece of clay. That's really, yeah, really high end clay. It's all the things that you can't teach that he has, and the rest of it you hope that you can refine and improve, and hopefully he shows up in a big way, just because he's got physical tools that not a lot of people have.
No doubt about it. I mean, he's going to be something to watch. His ceiling is very, very high. There's no question about it. Got to talk to you about the quarterback situation here, Coach. Trevor Siemian signs with the Cincinnati Bengals. Brandon Allen moves on with the 49ers. And, of course, you do have Jake Browning in camp as well. Tell us a little bit about Trevor Siemian and, sure. And Brandon Allen. Great human being, boy. I'll tell you, I love that guy. He did some good things for you, didn't he?
Yeah, we love Brandon here. You know, he's earned a lot of respect from the people on our coaching staff. I like him as a player, and I love him as a person.
Right.
He's been fantastic. We've been together in football years. It feels like it's like dog years. You know, it feels like we've been together for 10 years, but it's only been a couple. So have a really great relationship with him. Happy that he has found himself a job playing football. You know, that's all we really want for guys. And I root for Brandon. I hope he does. I hope he plays another 5-6 years and gets to be a 10-year backup and gets to retire and live a nice life playing golf and doing what backup quarterbacks do. So, but he's fantastic. I appreciate everything he's brought to us. He's been really good for our quarterback room, for Joe. He's a guy I got a ton of respect for as an NFL player. Obviously Jake Browning's been with us now for a little bit over a year. And we have a lot of high expectations for Jake. We think that Jake is a ascending player. He's getting a chance to finally get some meaningful repetition, hopefully, and compete for a job. And we feel like he's up to the task. It's going to be good. It'll raise the level of play in that room for sure. And got a lot of, like I said, high expectations for Jake this year, and think that he'll raise to meet them. So excited to see him get a chance. And then Trevor, I was in Denver when we drafted Trevor in the 7th round. He was a great third quarterback for us for the last year I was there. And then took over as a starter. He was a guy that we felt like had talent. He was coming off an ACL injury, so he had a really late pro day. And that probably caused him to fall some in the draft. But the late Greg Knapp went up there and worked him out, and felt like he had a real shot to be a good player. And we pulled the trigger on him, drafted him in the 7th round. And he really played good football in Denver for, you know, he went 8-8 as a starter in 2016. I think he's got a lot of experience. He's a really smart player. He's been around a lot of different schemes and a lot of different places. Those experiences are very valuable in the quarterback room. He's been around enough to where he can maybe share some things with Joe and his perspective. He understands the importance of the role of the backup quarterback in the weekly preparation, in the relationship with the starter. There's a lot of trust that gets built there. There's a lot of interaction between those guys. It's really important. So Trevor as a person is fantastic. You guys in the media will love him. The team's going to love him. He really is a fantastic, very experienced veteran quarterback that's played a lot of football.
So, Coach, immediately, you know, after the draft concludes, start to get all the reactions, positive, and then, of course, the questions. No tight ends? No offensive tackles? Come on, man, what's up? You know, I'm looking at the roster. I'm seeing, like, 15 offensive linemen already on the roster. I mean, the offensive line has been addressed pretty darn well, and it's like you need to bring somebody in a later round who, you know, may not necessarily roster with guys that you already have, as opposed to building up more depth at another position group where you've got 15, I mean, and a lot of guys have some experience, have some traits. I mean, it's not just guys. You know, there's some good football players in those 15 players. You can't keep them all. And then what you did at tight end right before the draft, I mean, you know, signing your former second-round pick with the Bengals, Drew Sample, and then former second-round pick in the league, Irv Smith Jr. I mean, tight end position was addressed as a room as well. Was it pretty much that, or explain why no tight ends or tackles?
Well, we felt, you know, truth be told, there's, you know, when you look at the starting tackles in the league, they usually get picked in the top 15 picks.
Yep.
Usually. Or you're going to pay 16 to 20 something million dollars for one, which is what we did. Yep. So we paid for one. We have four very solid starting caliber players. We have Jackson Carman, who we feel like is an ascending player, starting to really figure things out and do things the way that we know he's capable of. You got Jonah now, who's, you know, he's potentially move him on the right side and see if we can compete there. Yep. LC's coming off an injury. You know, we have guys that can play football on our offensive line. Would that have eliminated us from taking a potential tackle that we felt like could come in and start? No. If there was one there, that would certainly have been part of the conversation in the draft. We'll never turn down starting caliber offensive line talent if it's available to us, and it just wasn't at that point.
Right.
And really, so then now you know we've got guys we've invested in with Akeem, Jackson, Trey Hill, Max Charvin. These guys are all guys that we've, you know, Max has been here the shortest, but a lot of these guys have been here for 2-3 years now, and you know, they've been in the development track, and we're hoping to see returns from those developments as we get moving forward here. But we got guys that we like and feel like can help us, and you only get 8 on game day anyway, and so you got to find the best 8 linemen you can find, and we feel like we got quite a few of them on our roster already. And again, not to say that we wouldn't have added one at the right time if the right player was there. But again, we're you know, that's as Duke stacks the board and we make those picks, those are the decisions that he makes. And that's just where we're at. And we feel really good about the guys we have here. And then we're going to have good competition and guys are going to get better. You know, I feel like occasionally it gets lost that we did sign Orlando Brown and play left tackle for us.
Right. You know,
that's a pretty good pick up for us. And then the tight end thing is sort of worked the same way. You know, there was, tight end is not a premium position. It is not one that you generally want to spend picks on in the first round unless they're special. And we didn't really have an opportunity to pick one that we felt like was special in the first round. Felt like those definitely guys we would have wanted in the second round. But the problem is we were picking at 60 and not 38. And right. The next tier of good tight ends got selected before we picked in the second round. And then the next ones got selected in the third round before we picked. Again, if one was there that we felt like was going to come in and have an impact and help us, we certainly would have taken one. And then you get to the back of the draft for the same thing with the offensive line, then you're looking at developmental players that likely aren't going to help you in their first year anyway. And so, you know, we went out in free agency with Irv and Drew and wanted to make sure that we at least had, you know, guys that we trusted and can play in this league that we knew day one would be able to play. And even if you take a tight end in the second round or the third round, it's always been a position that's been relatively difficult to have an immediate impact just because there's so much to learn about playing that position that we felt like we didn't want to have to reach for a tight end at any point in the draft. And that's why we signed the guys we did. And again, I feel really good about some of the guys we have on our roster already. We signed, you know, Nick Bowers at the cutdown last year. We had Devin Asiasi. These guys have all played football. You know, Asiasi was a top, I think, what, third round pick or second round pick.
Yep.
You know, Irv was a second round pick. We liked Irv coming out in the draft when he came out 4 years ago. You know, obviously we got a lot of trust in Drew. Drew does a lot of good things for us that aren't necessarily, you know, as exciting for the people out in the world, but he's a valued member of that tight end room and the things he can do for us. So again, we feel good about the guys we have. If the right tight end was there at the right spot, certainly would have been part of the conversation. And there was some conversation at those spots, but ultimately felt like, we got a good room of guys. Now, the only drawback to that is I think we have every player in the room is on a 1-year contract.
Right.
So there's some longevity things you would have liked to have addressed if it fit for us at the right time. So it's not by – we didn't just say, no, we don't want tight ends at all in the draft. We certainly were looking at them, and they were in the conversation at some spots. But the ones that I think are going to make an impact in this league, you know, all ended up getting picked prior to when we would have picked those players. So – you know, it's hard. It's easy to sit back at the end of the draft and say, well, what? We don't like tight ends. I love tight ends, but I'm also very aware that there's a value placed on where and when they should be picked. And the value of the player relative to the draft position is part of the equation. So that's just the way it is. But we trust the guys that we have here, and I'm excited to see what Irv can do for us in our system.
Well, Coach, I think the organization once again had a great draft. I mean, all the gurus, the people that grade the draft, and I don't know how they grade it, but, you know, I guess I'd like to see a grade 2, 3, 5 years, you know, down the road in the careers a little bit. But based on their collegiate performances, though, that's, I guess, the only way they can grade it. I've seen A+, I've seen A-, B+. Lowest I've seen anywhere is a B. So, I mean, pretty darn solid draft. Looks like got value at every selection. That's what you're hoping for, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what's made us one of the best rosters in football is we've drafted really, really well over the last 4 years. A lot of guys we've drafted are contributing. They're helping us. They're playing on second. They're hoping to get second contracts. They should be getting second contracts. These are all the things that you do when you're drafting well. That's what you want. So I think we've stacked a couple of good drafts together, which really makes our roster deep. It makes it strong. It's hard to go wrong when, you know, those guys upstairs and in the front office do their job at the level they've been doing it. It's been really fun to coach the guys that keep showing up here.
Coach, can't thank you enough, as always. Great stuff. Appreciate you giving us the time you gave us as well. I know it's busy. A lot of people don't realize there's a lot of stuff going on post-draft as well. It's not over, that's for sure.
We're getting ready for our off-season program to get kicked up here. We'll start practicing and meeting and all those things. So,
yep.
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.